You are listening to the Over the Line Show with Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos. The Over the Line Show airs every Sunday from 7 to 9 on News Radio 610 WTBN.
News Radio 610 WTBN, Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos. It is Over the Line. Thanks for joining us on this Sunday night. Jack, how are you doing?
I'm doing great now that the rain has stopped. I was tired of living in water world.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was.
Well, see, now
it's
I was...
It's a little damp. My socks are kind of dry now.
Was it really bad where you live?
Yeah, we had a lot of flooding. Yep.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, I mean, the retention ponds are there for a reason, and boy, yeah. Are they retaining.
Yeah.
It's like that time of the month for all the ponds. They're just holding on to all their water, poor things. Got to buy them a Snickers bar and put on a romantic movie.
Who knew it was going to turn that way in the conversation?
Well,
I had no idea.
It did.
Our buddy Ed Francis with us. How you doing, Ed?
Hey, guys. Good to be here.
Is it that time of the month where you live?
Yeah. Yeah,
you're sort of over Jack's way. You're a little bit a little bit south of Jack. Do you get a lot of water over there?
My yard puddled. I've lived there 3 years. I've never seen puddles in my backyard.
South of Jack?
Yeah. Well, how would you describe it?
I don't know. I don't know where you live.
South of you.
Okay. I live in Hilliard.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I live...
AKA south of Jack.
I live in the nexus of the universe. I live in Washington Township. I have a Dublin zip code. Across the street is Columbus, and my kids go to Hilliard City Schools.
You know what I call that?
What?
North of me.
North of you. There you go.
It's like the sixth dimension.
It is. It's kind of crazy.
Isn't it? Yeah. Something weird.
Pretty much.
So, Jack, you and I saw each other last night.
Yeah, we did.
Was our poker night.
That was a surprise.
Why was it a surprise?
Because you weren't supposed to be there. You were able to attend.
No, I wasn't supposed to be there, but then I was there. Somebody had to show up
and
collect a trophy with my name on it.
Well, that's great because I actually won money that night. You didn't.
Yeah, I didn't actually. I got a trophy for stuff I did last year. It wasn't for anything recent. No, it was not very good last night
top,
at all.
Top five in the tournament paid, and I came in fifth.
Where did I finish? Like 12, 13?
I don't know, something like that. All I know is that I got a top five finish and won my entry fee back plus $5.
Ooh.
Hey.
Yeah.
Don't spend it all in one place, I think they say.
Kids are going to college.
I think that you can with $5. You don't. Subway doesn't do like the $5 footlongs anymore.
They're like $6.50 now.
Okay, but you can get like
damn inflation.
You can get one of those Reba McEntire KFC fill-ups, can't you?
$5 fill-up. That's right.
Okay,
or you can get
it's more food.
Yeah,
you can get a lot of nacho fries from Taco Bell.
Yeah,
yeah.
You had the was today the first day you had those?
Second. I had them last week. They're good.
I had them. They're
no?
fries with nacho cheese.
Well, and the Dorito seasoning too.
Oh, is that? I didn't notice that. That's what that was.
Some of them they're hit and miss.
Okay, what do you mean they're hit and miss?
Some of them don't have any of the seasoning, and then some of them are like real, you know, layered in it.
Oh, well,
some of them are at the bottom of the pile, and some of them have been at the top.
Pretty much, yeah.
Some of them are made right, and some of them are the rest.
That's basically what I heard. That's basically what I heard.
It's like the chips at Chipotle. If you don't get the salt on, you know?
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, like the lime salt they use is the only reason why those chips are good.
Well, actually, that is good.
Yeah.
That stuff is good.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking, Jack, you and I were talking early in the week about who was going to come on with us on Sunday. And I said, well, Ed had plans for Sunday, but they've fallen through. And you said,
That went straight over my head.
You said, oh, well, I'm glad we were able to be his backup. And I said, no, I'm the one that canceled on him originally.
Yeah. It's not like we were going to have a good weekend or anything.
We were supposed to be in Las Vegas this weekend.
It is.
Oh, that's right. I was supposed to have the night off.
It is 5 o'clock in Vegas.
I'm sorry. I ruined it for everybody. I couldn't make it.
I was supposed to have the night off.
I wanted to finish fifth in a poker tournament and get my money plus $5 back.
You and I were supposed to be seeing Elton John at Caesar's Palace tonight.
Was that, I forget if that was tonight. I'm trying to block it out of my head if it was last night or tonight. We would have went to a Knights game that they won 6-3.
Yeah,
Ed, I could have Ed seen continued former Blue to send Jacket me, William Karlsson score two more goals.
Ed sent me score updates up until 1 a.m. Eastern on the game we were supposed to go to that we didn't make it to. I will say, though,
it was early in the second.
Wow, that's a good troll move there.
It was good.
I was early in the second, Karlsson had scored his second of the game, and I thought, he's going to get a hat trick.
Yeah, did he?
No.
Okay.
Well, hey.
You would have heard about
Look at it this way, Ed. Joe saved your hat.
Yeah, because you would have
thrown it onto the ice.
You would have been in the upper deck. My hat wouldn't have made it.
Oh, it might have actually. Because I
think what great seats he sprang for.
I think it's very.
I think I was at the Knights game.
I don't know. I could have been at a junior hockey.
Were you going to be in the very last row for Elton John too?
Probably.
Oh yeah, we were actually in the last row for Elton John. But those are still great seats.
Remember when you took me to Vegas and we were in the very last row for Meatloaf?
Oh yeah.
He probably did you a favor there.
I was like, well, at least I don't have to worry about blocking anybody's view because behind me is a wall.
Those were good, but that was a good show, though.
It was a small theater, so that wasn't.
Look,
that's the thing, though.
Mm. That's the thing, though.
Joe apparently likes to sit in the back.
I do, because when you go to Vegas, I like to sit in the back for a show. Because if you're going to see someone who's there on a regular basis, like Elton John or Meatloaf at that time was a residency, so they put him in the smaller theaters. So a Carrot Top, for example, is in a theater that has like 15 rows because he's there six nights a week for like 10 years, so they're not going to put him in a place that seats 10,000 people because he's not going to sell 10,000 tickets six nights a week for 10 years.
What does this I don't have think to you do it you? One night a week for 1 year.
What does this have to do with you and being back row Joe?
Because they put the act in a smaller theater, so you can buy the cheap seats, and you're still only going to be 15 rows away. They're still good seats, and you didn't spend a fortune on them.
Joe's Vegas tip number 212.
Well, there you go. But if you were going to see like a Katy Perry in a one-off show at like T-Mobile Arena, what's going to seat like 15,000 people, you don't want to be in the back row for that. I wouldn't buy a back row seat for that.
In our case, we weren't in any row for Elton John tonight.
Doesn't matter. These guys are here.
That's cold.
Oh, we're going to troll you all night.
We're going to try again later. We're going to try to piece a trip together.
Well, he's coming to town.
He is. Yeah, later this year.
I'm probably going to go to that show because I've never seen him. You say I have, but I haven't.
I'm the only one who has memory of you going to see Elton John.
Correct. You're the only one who thinks I was there.
Well, since
I wasn't.
Since we talked about this a couple weeks ago, I've decided that it was either you or someone else.
Yeah, bet on someone else.
But I can't think of who else it would have been.
Well, I have... Somebody obviously handsome and dashing and full of charisma.
No, because they reminded me of you. So I don't know who it would have been.
That's why it definitely is someone that reminds you of me and with the charisma and the...
Could have been me.
And $5 in his pocket.
The rugged good looks and just coming off a fifth place poker tournament win.
Yeah, that's about right.
Anyway,
can you win fifth place?
I did. I won fifth place.
Mm. Yeah, you can do that.
Sixth place we call Bubble Boy.
Ed is not a poker person.
No, that's not true at all.
You told me you weren't.
Damn. No.
Yeah, you don't even know your friend.
You told me you weren't a poker person.
I'm not any good.
Oh, well, you're the kind of player everybody wants at the table.
You got to come play with us if you're no good.
I like poker.
Then come play with us, especially since you suck.
There's no shortage of bad players at our tables.
Well, yeah.
Jack's there.
Uh-huh, great. Yeah, I finished above you.
I know, fifth. Well, I got you trophy.
You would have found out how much I liked poker about 48 hours ago.
You're living in the past, Joe. You're living in the past. The trophy was from last year.
I can't believe you didn't think.
Live in the now.
I thought you told me you didn't like poker.
I've never said that to you.
I thought that was...
I enjoy it a lot, especially when I do well, which is almost never, but I enjoy it.
Oh, okay. Mm. Well, I was mistaken. Well, later on, we're going to find out how good... Well, it's already a given how good I am at Popcorn Wars. Because Ed's going to be hosting Popcorn Wars for us tonight.
Have you won yet?
Ed, I was so close last week.
Oh, he was so close.
Is that a no?
Oh, my God. It was like the Patriots and the Falcons Super Bowl. I don't know how he didn't win. I don't know how.
What'd you do, Joe?
It was Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
And I would have bet my life that he was in Spy Kids.
Okay, but Ed,
well, he had a cameo.
Ed, here is the karmic comeuppance for Joe. Joe's stab in the dark movie that he chooses when he's completely out of things. Mm-hmm. He goes to this movie called The Player.
Yes.
That features cameos from like 85 actors. He always goes to The Player, and this time he didn't. And guess what?
Oh!
Patrick Swayze is in The Player.
And as it turns out, Dirty Dancing 2.
Yeah. Dirty Dancing 2, Havana Night.
Damn it. So, no, I have not won yet. Mm. But tonight could be the night.
But you guys, you did tie, correct?
Yeah, I got a tie.
Well, so he didn't lose.
Yeah.
Correct. He didn't win.
He didn't win, but he didn't lose.
Yeah, well, we'll see how it goes. Popcorn Wars coming up next hour. We'll hit our first break here. When we come back, the state of California being sued and Bigfoot is involved. We'll get details on that. Also, what's going on around Columbus in the coming week, we'll let you know as we continue. It's Over the Line here on a Sunday night on News Radio 610 WTVN. It's Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTVN. Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos. Our buddy Ed Francis in with us as well tonight. Jack, what's going on in California?
In California, the state is being sued. It is, California is kind of, they got a reputation, you think.
Yeah, they're crazy.
Yeah, they are pretty much crazy. And this lawsuit just, you know, confirms that the state of California.
California is like the Florida of the West, wouldn't you say? Like all the crazy, if you hear a crazy story from the U.S., you generally go, oh, what happened in Florida now? But if it wasn't Florida, you might say, what happened in California?
I mean, they have a lot of people in those two states.
That's true.
So the California crazy is the kind of crazy that you're just like, oh my gosh, give me a break. And the Florida crazy is the kind of crazy where you're like, oh my God, run.
The Florida crazy is like, I think I read about this in a tabloid. It's like that kind of crazy. There's like the Weekly World News crazy.
Florida man is a thing. There's no California man.
Okay.
So I don't think, I mean, California is, they're just the, you know, you just smack your head and go, you just facepalm and just slowly shake your head and like, oh my gosh, these people.
Okay.
But in Florida, you're like generally afraid.
Yeah. Okay. There's nothing that surprises you when you hear about it out of Florida.
Yeah. Okay. And sometimes you take appropriate measures to protect yourself afterwards.
Sure. Sure.
All right. So in California, a woman is suing the state for refusing to recognize a certain animal. And that animal would be
a failure to recognize an animal.
Yes, it says the state of California does not recognize this animal, and she is suing to force the state to recognize the Sasquatch, not to be confused with the Yeti. Yetis do not live in California, according to her lawsuit. It's only the Sasquatch. She is demanding that the state of California recognize Sasquatch, or as he's known here, Bigfoot,
as an
official species.
Is she like a researcher or some scientist lady?
I
will get to that.
Okay.
Ed, you're very perceptive. She's a lady who once went on a hike. Claudia Ackley, a resident of Crestline, California, says she ran into a Sasquatch last March on a trail in Lake Arrowhead.
And they've been happy together ever since.
Her and her daughters, you don't have to be lonely on SasquatchOnly.com. Her and her daughters say they saw Bigfoot 30 feet up in a tree and even managed to film the encounter. Says Claudia, he looked like a Neanderthal man with hair all over him. He had solid black eyes. He had no expression on his face at all. He did not show his teeth. He just stared at the three of us.
You take away the black eyes and you just describe Joe.
Actually dialed 911 to inform authorities.
Like I'm going to climb a tree.
This is one of my favorite sentences in the story. Ackley dialed 911 to inform the authorities about the Sasquatch, ABC News reports, but the authorities did not believe her.
Oh, well, shocking.
Now, after reviewing the footage she filmed, she was so sure that the creature she saw was a Bigfoot that she showed it to Todd Standing.
Oh, well, if Todd says it.
Now, Todd Standing created a very popular Netflix series called
Fuller House.
Discovering Bigfoot.
Oh.
Now, Todd at first was skeptical, But after visiting the area, reviewing the footage, he said he was convinced enough to help her sue the California Department of Fish and Wildlife and Natural Resources Agency in order to seek protection for the species of Sasquatch. The lawsuit was filed last month. It alleges that the organizations are in derelict of their duty for not protecting the Sasquatch's territory, as well as damaging the reputation and public image of researchers who study the Sasquatch. For over 100 years, thousands of men and women around the state of California claim to have witnessed a bipedal hominid creature that received its common name, Bigfoot, 60 years ago, the lawsuit reads. We bring to this court overwhelming evidence that proves what will be considered one of the greatest discoveries of our time. They then go on to ask that the court order the California Department of Fish and Wildlife and the State Natural Resources Agency to protect the habitat of the Sasquatch should it exist. Now, what I don't understand is why they're suing California. They should be suing those beef link jerky people who have a whole ad campaign called Messing with Sasquatch, where the entire premise of their product is you go up and you tease a Sasquatch and make it mad. That's the people who are really being mean to Sasquatch. It has nothing to do with California. You need to go after the beef links jerky people. That's all I got.
But the Sasquatch in those commercials always wins in the end.
Sort of. But in order for him to win in the end, he's got to be tortured. They come up and they're like, oh, hey, you want some beef jerky? Oh, and then they pull a nose hair out of him. And sure enough, then he goes on a murderous rampage. But wouldn't you?
Sounds very dangerous to me.
When you
Claudia. When you get like one crazy person, like Claudia is bad enough, and then you get someone that says, yeah, you go, girl, and then signs on to help, that's a problem.
So you're saying that Todd Standing is even crazier than Claudia?
I'm saying he's made it worse.
Well, he's got a Netflix series and you don't.
Well, that's true.
Well, yet.
Yet, that's right.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but as you were telling me that, I could hear Claudia's voice and picture exactly what she looked like. Like, there is a very distinct type of person
long hair, big glasses. Wearing a smock or some sort of overall.
Yeah.
I was picturing like a Mama Cass type or something for some reason.
Okay. Nah.
Maybe not. Maybe
no,
not.
No.
Okay, that's not sorry. Claudia. No,
Claudia definitely is a vegan.
Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't talking about her diet, but that's...
Well, when you think Mama Cass was you know, a curvy girl.
She was. She was, yes, she was on the larger size. Let's see here. How about I didn't realize this story was also from California, but let's stay there. Where a teenager has been sentenced to 6 months in prison after attempting to smuggle an endangered Bengal tiger cub into the U.S. from Mexico.
Probably to feed to a Bigfoot.
Luis Eduardo Valencia, age 18, told the court that he wanted the tiger cub as a pet and had suffered a lapse in judgment, allowing his passion for animals and youth to overcome obvious common sense. He pled guilty to conspiracy to illegally import tigers once they determined that he was a big liar. He didn't want this thing as a pet. He was like someone who smuggles animals in and then sells them.
To people who want him as a pet.
Yeah. A sniffer dog alerted authorities to
he got there eventually.
Yeah, to the sedated 6-week-old cub on the passenger side floor of the teen's vehicle. Apparently, he got it through security.
Wait, that's
and, like,
how he smuggled it? He knocked it out and put it on the floor?
Yeah. Lay low, tiger cub.
Now, in Scotland, they would have, you know, brought out the SWAT team.
Despite Valencia's claims that he merely wanted the cub as a pet, prosecutors said cell phone data indicated that he had been involved in an animal smuggling business. They noted text messages showing that Valencia bragged that he had smuggled thousands of monkeys, jaguars, and lions into the country.
Now, he brought the tiger up from Mexico?
Yeah.
How did he get to Mexico?
Yeah, right.
Tigers are native of the of India.
I don't know.
This poor tiger's been all over the place.
Maybe the tiger was headed this way anyway because he heard we didn't have that border wall yet.
Yeah, there you go. So, it's another DACA case.
He wanted to mess with Sasquatch.
He's just trying to take advantage of DACA because it was a 6-month-old tiger.
Yeah.
Yeah, just another DACA kid.
See. Going on around Columbus this week, you've got the Blue Jackets in action tomorrow night. They'll be over at Nationwide Arena taking on the Washington Capitals. Looks like not a whole lot, honestly, midweek, but you get to Friday night, and this is exciting. Who's Bad, the ultimate Michael Jackson tribute at the Newport. You guys have your tickets?
No.
I'm more excited for the Jackets game tomorrow.
Well, how about Saturday night? Maybe you want something, maybe the Michael Jackson tribute doesn't work for you.
Okay.
Next Saturday night at the Hollywood Casino, it is the Prince Experience. Which is the ultimate Prince tribute.
That's more up my alley.
Well, that wasn't at the halftime show of the big game this year.
Oh, when they brought Prince up
on the
sheet.
Yeah.
The sheet
that
of
was
Prince.
Well done, I thought. Actually.
Oh, no, I thought it was great. And then afterwards, Prince made everybody pancakes.
I've heard about that.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, we've got bottom of the hour news to get to. When we come back, a T-Rex sighting in Philadelphia draws the attention of authorities and a fox on the loose in D.C. as we continue. It's Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTVN. It's Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTVN. Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos are our weekly time that we spend with you here every Sunday night, 7 to 9, taking a look back at the week that was, looking at some pop culture, lighter stuff from the news, entertainment, sports, and otherwise. Your buddy Ed Francis with us tonight as well. So I was talking before we went into the break, I was saying there's a DC Fox. Which sounds like that could be like a.
I remember DC Cab. That was a Mr. T movie.
DC Fox, I think, sounds like it could be like a madam, like a Heidi Fleiss type thing, like some sort of thing like that. But it
sounds like a canceled Fox series.
Yeah, I was going to say. Oh, it sounds like a local DC affiliate of Fox.
Could be
of 20th Century Fox.
Yeah, it's actually not any of those things. It's an actual fox. That is loose in the Washington, D.C. area. And it is apparently ready to rumble.
Just one?
Just one.
I was going to say, because we have like 500,000 here.
I see three out the window right now.
Well, there's Thursday.
They're all standing shoulder to shoulder to shoulder, and we're in a trench coat in the building.
Well, so here's the deal. So Thursday night, Animal Protection responded to a report of a man who was bit by a fox.
Did he turn into a fox on the next full moon?
He did not. Wasn't that a Jack Nicholson movie?
Yeah, but that was about a werewolf.
Oh, it was wolf.
He became Bill O'Reilly.
What?
Fox.
Oh, okay. All right.
We're pretending that didn't happen. This man was bit by a fox in the 2300 block of William and Mary Drive. County police say that...
Where else would you get bit by a fox?
Okay, well, that's their natural habitat right there is on William and Mary Drive. So that after biting the man, the fox then attacked a cat that was under a car. This fox was not in the mood, was not having it. Attacked a cat that was under a car. The cat was hurt, but is believed to have survived. Meaning the cat went, wow, and then ran off, and they assume it's okay.
What'd the cat do?
Wow. I know it's the best I can do. Fox ran away. Cat ran away, and the fox ran away.
He has two cats, and he can't do a cat impersonation. What the heck?
I can't. Okay. So during the investigation, the guy calls police. Why would you call police?
I would call an ambulance. I'm going to need some rabies shots.
You've got animal protection involved in this. You've got county police involved in this. During the investigation of the incident where the fox bit the man and then attacked the cat, you got people out there.
So
in the
far,
light.
It sounds like a Dr. Seuss book.
It sort of does. So while they're checking into that, there is report of another man on the 2200 block. Of William and Mary Drive, same street. And this guy reports that his dog was in a fight with what is believed to be the same fox.
Okay, good, because it's not. If it's a roving gang of foxes.
No, I think it's the same fox. Right. Same fox.
As long as it's just one, we have to
same fox.
What is bites a dude, pack of foxes called?
Is it a fleet?
Maybe.
There's a band called Fleet Foxes. That's why I took a shot. I don't know. You don't know either. You're looking it up. You're asking a riddle and you don't know the answer. So the fox attacks the man, attacks the cat, runs down the street.
I don't know why she swallowed the fly.
Attacks another dude. And then this guy had been out walking his dog. The fox then decides to attack that dog.
Of course.
So the man tries to kick the fox away from his dog. At which point the fox
goes, Elizabeth, I'm coming.
At which point the fox,
oh, that was Red Fox,
bites the guy again.
Jeez.
And then steals his shoe and runs away. The man was nuts. The man was nuts.
It's taking trophies.
Exactly, right? I feel like if you could go back to its den, right? Isn't it a den? If you could go back to the fox's den, you'd find everything from that night. You would find the guy's shoe. You would find like the tail from the cat. You would find like all the other guy's wallet. That's right. The man was not seriously hurt, but the dog was quarantined due to possible exposure to rabies. Police searched the area extensively, but did not find the fox.
So they weren't worried about the guy contracting rabies?
I guess not, just the dog. Isn't that weird? I thought that was weird, too.
Maybe he had already got his...
The guy's like, I've been bit. Excuse me, sir. There's a chihuahua in desperate need of...
By the way,
people do love their doggos.
Names for a group of foxes.
For a group of foxes. Yeah. Okay.
An Earth.
An Earth?
An Earth.
An okay. Earth of foxes.
An Earth of foxes.
What does that sound out back? Oh, sorry. We have an Earth of foxes.
Oh, wait. Let me guess the other name. It's Spring Break.
Spring Break?
A Mars. No. An Earth or a, I believe it is pronounced a skulk, S-K-U-L-K. A skulk of foxes or an Earth of foxes?
Huh.
Either one. They're interchangeable.
Wow. I did not know.
We need that. The more you know, the rainbow.
Yeah, suddenly you see this rainbow star.
We should get that on the ready for future shows.
Over the line PSAs.
Yes, I love that idea. We should get that. We should get that together.
Did your dog get bit by a fox?
Yeah, is it one fox or is it an earth of foxes?
Wait, now you sound like one of those.
An earth of foxes is a group of foxes, and now you know.
No, the way Ed said it, it sounded like one of those local lawyer commercials. Have you or a canine that you know been bitten by an earth of foxes? I won't get paid unless you get paid.
Ed Francis got me $400,000 from the fox and his lawyers.
What did you say, Ed?
You get your shoe back.
And you get your shoe back. And I got my shoe back.
Now, you noticed the other day that Joe Isuzu got work again.
I had no idea that guy was working again.
Actor David Leisure.
David Leisure.
Who was on the TV sitcom Empty Nest.
Yes.
As Charlie, the sexual predator neighbor.
Yes.
And then he was also Isuzu. I don't even know if Isuzus are still a thing.
I don't know.
But he was Joe Isuzu, and he had this series of commercials where he was this sleazy car sales guy. Wasn't it Trust Me or You Have My Word on It or something? Wasn't his catchphrase as Joe Isuzu?
Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah.
You can... Yeah, you've got
He was clearly lying.
He was clearly lying, and so people would go and get the Isuzu instead of what he was selling.
This is so I have...
And now he's taken over for Robert Vaughn.
The different law commercials, well, though. No, it's not but, for the same thing. That was Plymouth and Associates.
No. Robert Vaughn, if you go to YouTube...
Well, he did it for a lot of them.
He did it for a lot of them, so I'm sure in this market it's Mike Christensen.
Yeah.
But if you go to other markets, it's going to be the same Joe Isuzu lines.
Yeah.
May lightning hit my mom. Remember that?
Was that Joe Isuzu?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. That's a quote. That's not me saying it. No.
I
love my mom.
I have found myself in a position where I've been catching a lot more afternoon TV these days, and so the idea that guy is getting work.
He
caught
looks
me
great.
Off guard
when I saw the
sure
commercial.
He
doesn't look like he's aged a day.
Yeah. He looks great.
He looks fantastic. Why is this guy getting better work?
And I didn't know Shaquille O'Neal was doing spots for the General.
Shaquille O'Neal's doing spots for everything. Yeah. Shaquille O'Neal has not met an endorsement he will not take.
Shaq actually endorses me, and I don't even have anything that I'm endorsing.
I'm Shaquille O'Neal for Hebrew National Hot Dogs. It doesn't matter. I'm a 7'2" black man who's not Jewish. Eat them.
But like every other commercial that I've seen has been, actually every other commercial I've seen has been one with Judge Joe Brown. Telling you to call this law firm or call this one. He had a good TV judge show, but I always knew what I mean.
Well, the Joe Isuzu commercial.
You always knew how the Judge Joe Brown. Do you watch any of the judge shows?
No, those things aren't real.
The Joe Isuzu.
They are real. What are you talking
about?
They're sort of real.
They're semi.
The case is predetermined. So anyway, the Joe Azusa commercial for Mike Christensen, he's an insurance adjuster or something. Yeah. And yeah. So he's like, oh, well, I see your claims here. It's going to take at least 14 years to get through the paperwork. And then they'll come back to him again. He's like, oh, well, I got your check here, but I don't have a working pen.
Oh, yeah.
And then suddenly he goes, yeah. Oh, you're represented by Mike Christensen? My pen works now. Here, yeah. Let me sign on the dotted line.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, because it used to be with Robert Vaughn, it was always, tell him you mean business.
That's right. That's right. So I think those might be among my favorite commercials
right
now.
I love those commercials.
Yeah, those are good.
But I was so happy to see him again because I loved the Joe Azusa commercials.
Yeah.
And I watched a couple past seasons of Empty Nest, and man, yeah. that character today would be part of the Me Too movement, and he would be brought before a tribunal and shot.
All day long. The commercials on afternoon television, it's either for a law firm or it's for, geez, how much money did Daisy Cottage Cheese spend? Like every other commercial what? Feels like it's for like Daisy Cottage Cheese. Today's is a day for cottage cheese. I'm tired of hearing about it. You've not seen that.
No, I've never once seen a cottage cheese commercial.
I see farmersonly.com constantly because I watch the Laugh Channel, which is one of Channel 4's sub-channels.
I'm seeing lots of Daisy during the Price is Right and other stuff.
Farmersonly.com spent about $8 million in ad. I mean, that's all it is.
And everything and tons of drug commercials. Like, how many times is that lady's digestive tract going to drag her away from her date night or whatever? You know, she's out trying to...
Oh, the girl looks like Slim Goodbody?
They're out trying to go to the carnival, and that little tiny digestive system's trying to pull her away.
Her bladder.
Yeah, bladder.
It's her bladder.
Her bladder won't let her sit through a movie anything.
The other one is the woman who's got the red-haired girl who's dressed up like Slim Goodbody. Who then pulls her out of everything. So,
oh, yeah. I've seen that. These ladies can't get through the day.
All right. Real quick before we go to break, I've got something to piggyback on your DC Fox. I've got a Philadelphia T-Rex.
Okay.
However, mine ended with the cops having to do a lot less paperwork. This is Lansdowne, Pennsylvania, a suburb of Philadelphia. Police received an unusual report about a dinosaur on the loose. They sent several cars to investigate, but officers in East Lansdowne did not panic and took things in stride when they realized what was happening. They posted a video showing a person in one of those inflatable Tyrannosaurus Rex costumes that you see walking their kid to school. And the best part about this video, is the cop, it's on his body cam.
Yeah.
He starts seeing the kid and this guy in his T-Rex costume walking. And all the cop says is, no problem here, clear. And he's the most down to earth. It's just awesome. Just 10-4, car 55 reporting in. No problem, clear. Moving on with life.
Nice. All right, a break here. When we come back, food news. We'll talk KFC, Lucky Charms, and a restaurant opening in Reynoldsburg this week. We'll tell you all about it when we continue here on News Radio 610 WTVN. Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos, it's Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTVN. Our buddy Ed Francis sitting in with us tonight as well. New restaurant opening in Reynoldsburg this week. It's a new Winking Lizard. They're getting a new Winking Lizard. I suppose people around the area, this is 7995 East Broad Street. They've probably seen it going in there and going, when's that place going to open up? Tuesday.
Well, there you go. Grand opening.
Tuesday afternoon, 4 o'clock. It says they're going to have
specials.
Bunch of TVs and a big dining room and a big patio, so pretty much like every other Winking Lizard.
Their place.
Winking Lizard has a really good pizza, flatbread pizza.
I like Winking Lizard a lot. There's one just like feet from my apartment in Grandview.
The old Hoggies.
Oh, God. I didn't care for Hoggies.
Well, I don't care. It's in the old Hoggies.
That's true.
If people haven't been in there but in the area, but they remember the old Hoggies, now they know where the Winking Lizard is.
And they also know you don't like it.
If you've been to the old Hoggies.
Or didn't like it.
You remember the old Hoggies. But it's not fondly. That's my assumption.
Okay, well, huzzah for Winking Lizard.
Well, they used to have a Taco Tuesday at the Winking Lizard, and I apparently was the only person who ever took advantage of the Taco Tuesday because they don't have it anymore.
Well, every other place has a Taco Tuesday now, and they have 14 Facebook posts to tell you about it.
Drives me crazy. Why does it, again, the alliteration. Am I only allowed to have a taco on a Tuesday?
Yeah, it's a constitutional amendment.
And why not Thursday?
It's in the Bill of Rights.
Sometimes I want a taco on a Thursday.
I had tacos today.
You did have tacos tonight.
I did. They were good.
Yeah.
This is Salmon Sunday. Jeez, guys.
Salmon Sunday.
Salmon Saturday, actually.
Where is that happening?
California.
All right.
That's Sasquatch Sunday.
Yeah. So, well, they like to catch salmon with the bears.
Reservation for two. The name is Claudia.
He and Todd Standing of Netflix of table.
Let me go get my boyfriend. He's up in a 30-foot tree.
He's got the deepest eyes.
So, going from Winking Lizard over to the United Kingdom, there was a problem with the KFCs throughout the UK and Ireland.
Trouble at the KFC in the UK?
Trouble at the KFC. What do you think? We think the problem was it forced 900 of them to close.
Oh, I already know.
Well, first of all, judging from the reputation of food in the UK, I'd say any restaurant that closes in the UK is a win, right?
Well, they ran out of something.
So they ran out of something at KFC?
Yeah.
Oh, well, if they had to close then, it was probably the chicken.
They ran out of chicken. Oh. Fast food fans were in a flutter Monday after most of the 900 KFC outlets in the UK and Ireland were forced to close because of a shortage of chicken. The company apologized to customers, blaming teething problems with its new delivery partner, DHL, which is not really... DHL used to be in America, and then they remember back in the 2008 election, they destroyed one of our towns by leaving. So we don't like DHL anyway.
Okay.
KFC first apologized for most of the problems on Saturday. In an update on Monday, it listed 300 stores as open, but said that those stores all had limited hours because the chicken was going fast. DHL recently took over KFC's contract from Bidvest Logistics in delivering the chicken and said that due to operational issues, a number of deliveries in recent days have been incomplete or delayed. When DHL announced in October that it had won the KFC contract, alongside logistics firm QSL, it promised to, quote-unquote, rewrite the rule book and set a new benchmark for delivering fresh products to KFC in a sustainable way. Fail. Now, the best part of this story is an update that happened on Friday.
Okay.
KFC got their chicken, all the stores reopened, mm-hmm. and KFC relabeled their buckets.
Okay.
To KFK.
Kentucky Fried.
No, it's a little bit of the big one, the big word. They were KFK.
Oh.
So
all right.
That was their little, oops, sorry, guys.
Well, they don't tell you about that.
We kind of upped.
They don't tell you about that in the Reba McEntire commercials.
No, they don't. But here in the United States, they never run out of chicken because we don't use DHL because DHL is awful.
That's weird, like when a place that that's in the name and then they run out of it. You know, if you go to like Long John Silver's,
That's happened to me at individual.
What's that?
You said it had to be in the name.
Well, that's true, but it's Long John Silver's seafood, blah, blah, blah.
It would be like if Taco Bell ran out of tacos.
It's happened to me at some individual KFCs where I've gone to them and they told me they're out of chicken, and it was always on a Sunday night. And I just figured, okay, well, their delivery's probably Monday morning and they've run out of chicken. So,
you know, I like KFC, but I never know how they stay in business. I never see a crowded KFC.
I don't. All the time.
Anytime I see a KFC, there's three cars in the parking lot, and I figure those are the people who work there.
Oh, no.
I have no idea.
The closest KFC to me is always packed.
Really?
Always packed.
Now, on the other thing, for example, I love Jersey Mike's. I went to Jersey Mike's one time, and they said, oh, we're out of bread. Why was the door open then? Like, what are you going to do in here?
Wrap your sub and lettuce.
There's people who are still on Atkins.
Just close the door. If you're a sub shop and you're out of bread, just shut the door.
I have an observation about that. But never
mind. Share?
No.
Okay, thanks, Ed, for that dynamite drop-in. The broadcast school really paid off.
We'll cut this out in post. For the first... For the first time,
it didn't make sense. It didn't hold water.
For the first time in 10 years, cereal maker General Mills.
Ed just ran out of chicken.
Yeah. General Mills will introduce a new marshmallow shape to its popular cereal, Lucky Charms.
Oh.
What?
The unicorn.
Oh.
It's white with blue and purple colors for its horn and mane. Are you excited about this?
Are they replacing one or are they just adding another one in the bag?
Yes. I want Trix to bring the original coloring back. Talk to me when that happens.
They did.
Did they?
Yeah, they did.
I never had Trix. I don't know about that one.
Wait, what?
They brought back all the artificial colors.
Really?
They did. When? I did a story on it months ago.
Mm. All right, back to me. The unicorn will join 7 other marshmallow shapes. Hearts, stars, horseshoes, clovers, blue moons, rainbows, and red balloons. The hourglass will be phased out to make room for the unicorn.
I would have gone with the red balloons.
You would have got rid of the red balloons?
It reminds me too long of the Nena song about nuclear destruction, 99 left balloons. Yeah, that's why I was like, why would they put that in there? The Cold War? I don't get it.
Well,
it's not a lucky charm. It means death and destruction by nuclear explosion.
Well, you're getting a unicorn.
Okay.
Well, they sell both versions of the Trix now.
Yeah. Okay. You looked it up, right?
I did.
I didn't lie to you.
Original and what? No color?
Healthy.
No. Okay. Original and healthy.
Original and healthy. I love it.
That's great. All right. We've got top of the hour news to get to when we return. The French find a stolen masterpiece. You will never guess where. Also, a White Castle gets ripped off. Ooh, the mystery deepens. As we continue, Joe Jewett, Jack DeVos, our buddy Ed Francis with us tonight. Oh, and Popcorn Wars next hour, too. As we continue here with you on this Sunday night, it's Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTBN.
I said shake, rattle, and roll. 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 Well, you never do nothing to save your doggone soul.
It's Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTBN. Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos. We come to you every Sunday night, 7 to 9, taking a look back at basically the week in review. Look at some of the things that happened. The lighter side of news, pop culture, entertainment, sports, and such. Our buddy Ed Francis with us as well tonight. You guys doing all right? Don't everybody answer at once?
Ed?
Oh, yeah, great.
I'll start calling on you guys from now on so we can.
I was letting Ed go. And
I was just being polite.
Ed was asleep.
All right.
I'm fine, Joe. Okay. Thanks.
We're good. How are you, though?
I'm doing great.
Ed's good. Full of nacho cheese fries or
That's
something.
That's true.
In a coma.
They're pretty good.
Jack, tomorrow is your birthday.
Yeah, it is.
Well, happy birthday early.
Thank you.
This is much better than a Facebook post at 8:30 in the evening.
Yeah, now you're off the hook.
Yeah, now we don't have to type a thing.
Yep. Thank God.
Good job. All right, thanks.
Are you excited about your birthday?
Woo, yeah, boy, woo.
What is this? What is the Pisces?
I'm a Pisces, yes.
It's a Pisces?
I'm the fish.
That's the fish, right?
That's the fish.
What is the thing about the fish? Like, what do they say about that?
Fish,
like,
and visitors smell after 3 days.
No. What is it? What do they say about Pisces? Like, if you're a Leo, aren't you like...
I'm creative.
Is that what the Pisces is?
The Pisces are supposed to be creative.
I'm on the astrology website. Pisces are selfless, always willing to help others without hoping to get anything back.
Oh, results may vary.
Yeah, results may vary. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, do you want to tell us which birthday this is or no?
I'm 43.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Woo. It's still
day over 33.
Still 2 years younger than you.
That's not the point.
Wow.
You've got me beat by a dozen years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Ooh, boy. It's crazy when people are younger than you. It's funny how that works.
And you know, I'll never catch you.
I know. It's pretty interesting. But you might not pass me either one day after I'm gone.
What are you, like, bumping that off early?
Yeah, keep chirping away there, little birdie.
All right, there you go. I didn't know it was going to turn into a threat of violence.
So I was just trying to let him go first and answer him how he was.
Remember that when you post on Facebook.
I'm as mad as a DC fox right now.
Yeah, there you go. Well, no one will ever catch you, but we're all afraid of rabies now.
Good.
All right. So just outside of Chicago in Schererville, Indiana. You guys know Schererville?
Yeah.
Schererville?
Never been there.
Never heard of it.
It's in Indiana.
Well, there, it is in Indiana. And there's a White Castle there. And at 4:30 in the morning a couple of weeks ago, a group of folks walked in and got their food, left. One guy took a little something extra. He took an electric napkin dispenser.
Okay.
I had to look that up. I didn't even necessarily have a clue what that was. I don't know that I've ever actually...
What are those retail for, $29.95?
I've never seen an electric napkin dispenser.
Grand Theft napkin?
Have you ever seen an electric napkin dispenser?
I've never seen an electric napkin
dispenser. You have? I've just seen the ones where they fill it with napkins and you pull one out and the next one comes.
And then the next one pops out. It prevents people from taking 30 or 40 napkins, an unnecessary amount.
Well, this... okay. Well,
I've seen an electric paper towel dispenser in the men's room.
And I've seen the electric napkin. Maybe every place I go to normally would have an electric napkin dispenser, but this guy's already been there.
True. He's been cleaning them out.
It's entirely possible.
He started in Bangor, Maine, and he's worked his way all the way to Indiana.
Retail value $700.
What?
For an electric napkin dispenser.
How? Okay, so.
Maybe this was like the gold standard of electric napkin dispensers.
Like Ed said.
Yeah.
The purpose of the electric napkin dispenser is to limit the amount of napkins, thereby saving money on the cost of napkins.
Yeah.
But in order to save money on the cost of napkins, which have to be what?
A fraction of a cent.
3 cents per unit?
Maybe.
You have to spend $700 on the electric dispenser?
Yeah.
Man, I hope they got some deal in bulk, because that's awful.
Well, it's been missing for 2 weeks. The assistant manager at the White Castle.
They seem heartbroken.
The assistant. So,
ever since it's been stolen, all our napkins are running out. Oh, my gosh.
Well, here's the thing. So apparently what this guy didn't realize when he went in at 4:30 in the morning with his friends and walked out with the electric napkin dispenser. One, he didn't take the cord. So he had without the cord, there's really nothing you can do.
Well, you can probably get a replacement cord.
You might be able to.
$450.
Google electric napkin dispenser replacement cord, Ed. See what comes up.
You can get them on Prime.
2 days. 2 days free shipping, man.
Well, here's the thing. They had surveillance cameras at this White Castle. Here's where this guy messed up. First of all, they had surveillance cameras. So they were able to go back and review the video and see the guy steal the electric napkin dispenser. Now, does that tell him who he was?
No, because those videos always are grainy and awful.
Right. But the fact that he paid for his food with a credit card sure tells him who he was.
Well, there you go.
What a fool. So they run the video on the news. You know, as soon as they get this together, they run it, I guess, as like one of those Crime Stopper things or something like that. And they were like, hey, do you know this guy who stole the electric napkin dispenser from the White Castle in Schererville, Indiana? Because they've lost $700 on this thing. So if you know, give us a call or whatever. And maybe this guy was watching the news because the same night that ran on the news, the people at the White Castle, their back door buzzer rang. And so they went to the door to see what was out there. And there was the napkin dispenser sitting there with a note on it.
I was going to say, in a basket with a note, please take
care
of this.
There was a note.
It was crying.
It said, the note said, sorry I stole your napkin dispenser. Please don't press charges. Because remember, they know exactly who this guy is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, did they?
They said they weren't going to press charges.
Because they got their napkin.
They were just happy to have the electric napkin dispenser back.
Jack, a moment ago you said, look it up. Automatic napkin dispensers are on Prime. 4 out of 5 stars for $95.99.
Oh, geez, 700.
For the cord or for the dispenser itself?
For the dispenser itself.
Well, this is a good one, man.
So somebody, no, this one has 4 stars.
Yeah, look
four
at that.
4 stars.
These people.
Well, this is a Regal electric napkin dispenser.
This one comes in a castle.
Okay, hang on.
Metallic mint green.
this now screams insurance scam.
No, it doesn't.
Because if I'm the insurance adjuster, I'm going to say, look, they can get for $99.95 on Amazon. You're claiming it's worth $700.
No way.
Insurance scam.
No way.
They're not getting. That's a poor business decision on White Castle's part if they're paying $700 a pop.
I'm going to march over to the corporate headquarters over there. Or was it on Goodale? Where are
yeah,
they
Yeah, it's right over there.
And I'm going to knock on the door and I'm going to say,
just
hey.
Just keep going through the red light.
You know, maybe you could charge a little less for your crappy hamburgers if you weren't spending $700
What are you
bucks.
Talking about?
Or you buy up, you buy these up
business.
At $95.99. And that's free shipping, by the way, because Prime, and it's Prime eligible.
Look.
Then you sell them to White Castle for $350. They're saving money.
I feel
money.
Like
you're
you, fellas.
Money.
I'm thinking that they need to give me free chicken rings for life. And
I feel
shut me
like
up.
You fellas are attacking the victim.
They
got robbed of their electric napkin dispenser.
It was clearly an insurance scam.
I don't think so.
My silence is easily bought by free chicken rings for life.
I'm vegetarian.
Why would they send
so
you
I've
anything? I've been the one
me.
Defending them here for 3 minutes.
Huh?
Why would they send you anything? I've
because
been defending
you're defending them.
Them.
You're on their side. I'm the one. I'm the whistleblower. I'm the guy who's gonna peel back the Illuminati lizard people that are running the place.
They're gonna love
and
me.
Just shut the whole thing down, like Russell Crowe in that movie.
Yeah, they're gonna send
I'm
you
gonna a- get them automatic napkin dispensers for half of what they're paying.
I gotta tell you, this electric napkin dispenser is a great name for a band.
Well, you're gonna be lucky if they don't send you a birthday card with a dead fish in it.
Well,
because you're.
Well, it's
be
a good thing
kind.
It's Lent because I mean a lot of dead fish lately.
Oh, well, that's true. Don't they have a fish sandwich at White House?
I don't know.
I hope not.
I don't know.
They have chicken, which is something more than you could say for the KFCs in the UK. All
sure,
the time.
Exactly. Yes. Like I said, free chicken.
Why is everything food and animal today?
Dear White Castle, because we're hungry.
We're hungry and we're hooked on Claudia from California.
Hey, look, my silence is easy. Chicken rings for life, and I'll never make another peep.
Jeez, I wish I knew that 25 years ago.
Yeah, well, there you go. Enjoy.
What's going on with the French?
Well, for the French, this is not about
fries.
This is not about food or animals.
Baguette.
Are you happy? I got a story for you that's not about food or animals, although my other story is about food.
I knew it!
Okay, so this one is not about food or animals. This is about a missing Edgar Degas masterpiece, which was found. French custom officials have found the Impressionist painting stowed on a bus, like the French version of a Greyhound bus. They just found it. More than
where, in the bathroom?
No, more than 8 years after it was reported stolen, the French culture ministry said Friday the custom agents in Marne-la-Vallée were surprised to find the work of art bearing the signature Degas inside his suitcase in the bus's luggage compartment. The ministry says none of the passengers claimed the suitcase during the February 16th search. Experts verified the artwork as Degas' Les Choristes, which means the chorus singers, which depicts a scene from Mozart's opera Don Giovanni. The painting was stolen from a Marseille's museum in 2009.
Which depicts a scene from Sister Act 2.
Yes, exactly. From The Voice. The painting was stolen from a Marseille museum in 2009 while on loan. French Culture Minister François Nissen said she was delighted by the recovery of the work, whose disappearance represented a heavy loss for the French Impressionist heritage.
Uh-huh.
So, apparently this bus crossed a border.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it was subject to search by the French customs officials. They opened up a suitcase. Voila, missing Degas!
And then no one claimed the suitcase.
Because they're going, this one's mine. I'm the guy who had the stolen artwork.
Who had the suitcase with the stolen masterpiece
so,
in it?
So much like now, much like the stolen electric napkin dispenser.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily the guy.
Well, charges going to be pressed
in
this.
So, I mean, if they opened the suitcase and there was a note going, here's your Degas back. I made a bad decision. Please don't press charges. There you go. All's well that ends well.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Much to the chagrin of the people of Schererville, Indiana. Not a lot of masterpieces coming out of Schererville, Indiana, by the way.
No.
But if
basketball.
They were, they'd be on a bus.
Basketball players, man.
I betcha. All right, we've got a break here. When we come back, a new device that allows women the perfect date night. No partner required. Also, a former Cheers star gets into a fight with Olympians. We will tell you all about it when we come back. It's Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTVN. It's Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTVN. Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos, our buddy Ed Francis with us tonight as well. Popcorn Wars coming up just after 8:30. Jack, a treat for the ladies? Is that what this is?
This is a date night for the ladies that doesn't need a partner.
Okay.
You've heard of Netflix and chill?
Yeah.
Well, this is the sort of the opposite of that. A new vibrator has been invented that can reportedly order a pizza after you orgasm.
Automatically?
Automatically.
Is it, like, connected to one particular pizza place?
You,
like,
yes. Right now, it's connected to Domino's.
I swear to you, I was going to say Domino's. Like, that is the most Domino's thing that's out there.
Here you go, an adult entertainment company.
Are they a... Wait a minute.
I knew it.
Does Domino's, like, have a contract for this?
Or are they, that I have that it was Domino's.
Or are they, like, an unwilling participant in this?
And who else could it have been?
Huh? Nobody else.
Yeah, no.
Nobody else.
Yeah, no. That's Domino's is the spot. Yeah.
So they've signed on to be a part of this.
Yes, of course they have. Why wouldn't they? They're selling pizzas.
Okay.
So an adult entertainment company has come out with a new sex toy that orders pizza after your orgasm. This past Thursday morning, the company Cam Soda. Doesn't sound like an adult company, but it is. Introduced a vibrator called the Rub Grub.
Oh, my.
It's an interactive vibrator that orders food after you're done using it for its original purpose. According to the press release, this diddle and dine device comes with an internet connection. It's an internet-connected button on one end that's similar to the button on the Amazon Dash Wand. Now, I don't know what that is. I've never heard of the Amazon Dash Wand, but apparently this is something that also orders food.
Oh, wait. I think that's like, isn't that something you could have like a keychain or something, and it's connected to like one particular product?
Yeah, it's almost like an auto start for a car where you go and you can.
But that idea never made sense to me because it's only for like one product, right? Like I would carry this around and just every once in a while I'd be like, I think I'm out of Lucky Charms, hit the button and then it orders the one item for me.
Healthy
and that's the
tricks,
only item
please.
I could ever get.
All right. Well, same technology.
Okay.
but to a completely different purpose. Wow. Once the person programs their payment, delivery and order information, so you can put in like a standard order and your address and your credit card information, the Rub Grub connects to your local pizza place through its application programming interface, or API, which is how two pieces of software communicate with each other, blah, blah, blah. So whenever the person is done pleasuring themselves, they can order the pizza just by pushing the button.
Yeah, no pepperoni needed.
So the vibrator will only be connected to Domino's at first, but Cam Soda Vice President Darren Parker predicts that other national chains will jump on this product once they sense the buzz.
Yeah.
The Rub Grub is a vibrator that allows users to order the...
We all know how a vibrator works.
So Domino's may be a little touchy about being connected to a sex toy. A company spokesman told the Huffington Post the chain knows nothing about the Rub Grub.
Well, that's what I was asking you. They didn't sign on to this. They got dragged into it.
Wink, wink. Oh. But the device is able to order pizza for the chain because its API is public. The Rub Grub solves a problem few realize existed, he said. Masturbation, while ultimately enjoyable, can be a strenuous physical activity during which an individual exerts a lot of energy and burns many calories. Inevitably, once someone has climaxed, they feel lethargic and hungry. Now, in order to enjoy your Saturday night, all you need is your Rub Grub. Get off and get stuffed, all with the click of a button. Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut tried to do something.
Please don't tell me the stuffed crust.
Listen. Pizza Hut tried to do something similar.
Oh, jeez.
Pizza Hut did try to do something similar. They did something last year when it created a pair of basketball shoes called the Pie Tops. And this allowed a person to order pizza by pressing a button on the tongue of one shoe.
No, that's nothing like it. that's no.
Now,
the
Rub Grub will be going to market soon, and it will be available for purchase in a few months for only
$19.95. Wow.
Will it be on Prime?
I'm sure it will.
Wow. Watch out for greasy toppings.
Oh, gross.
That was the line. That was the line. That's where the line got crossed. Where it was.
We're over the line.
All right. I was wondering where the line was. I thought maybe it was at the start of the story, but no, it was right there at the end.
I didn't say I used clinical terms. I was very respectful.
Oh, yeah. Get off and get stopped. It's clinical. What university did you go to?
Harvard. That's Harvard, man.
Right out of my health class.
That's Harvard. That is Harvard Health.
It's an industry term.
The diddle and dine device. Oh. That's from their press release.
That's sure it is. Subtle segue. We all remember the show Cheers.
Remember the Cheers. It's on Netflix. I binge watched the entire series about 2 months ago.
All right. Well, and you guys have been watching the Olympics.
Yeah.
And didn't we just end it? We won gold in curling or something? And
yeah,
that was
we won
surprise.
Our first curling gold. The Team USA started off very badly and had a nice rush at the end there to finish where we expected, basically.
Well, not everyone is a fan of curling.
Okay.
And we had our poker game last night, and everybody who got knocked out gathered around the TV to watch curling.
Yeah, I had the curling replay of the gold medal match on. Yep.
Okay. Well, not everyone's a fan of curling.
Oh, well, that's a shame.
Including former Cheers star.
Ooh, let me guess. Rhea Perlman.
Yep, she's mouthing off again.
Really?
No, it's Kirstie Alley.
Oh. What?
It's Kirstie Alley. She's trying to make news. Not really. She just posted something on Twitter. I guess it was last week. She posted on Twitter. She said, "I'm not trying to be mean, but curling is boring." So said Kirstie Alley. This was a tweet last Monday she sent out there. The U.S. men's curling team saw Kirstie Alley's tweet. They didn't take kindly to it. So, again, she called their sport boring. They didn't care for that. And so they responded through their official Twitter account saying, "We're not trying to be mean either, but your movies weren't exactly riveting theater, Kirstie."
Oh, wow. Did they send some ointment with that burn?
Oh, gosh. Curler Matt Hamilton added, "You're entitled to your wrong opinion." Allie's reply was to that was three laughing emojis, but the Olympic feud didn't end there because curling fans on Twitter did not appreciate the diss and launched their own takeouts, one person suggesting that they simply should have responded by saying, "Look who's talking."
Oh, wow.
Kirstie Alley, you've stepped in it again. But I'll give her this. That's the first time you probably heard her name in 3 years. So.
I watched a Rhea Perlman movie today, and as it came on, I went, "Oh my God, Rhea Perlman was in a movie."
Was it Matilda?
No, it was There Goes the Neighborhood.
What is that?
It's a Jeff Daniels movie. Jeff Daniels, Catherine O'Hara, Dabney Coleman, Rhea Perlman. Hector Elizondo and Chaz Palminteri's in it.
You know, this is going to be awkward, but for Popcorn Wars, it was Rhea Perlman. So.
Oh, jeez.
Well, it's there goes Matilda. There goes Neighborhood and Matilda.
All right, we've got bottom of the hour news to get to. When we come back, we'll check out famous birthdays, a little bit of movie news, and Popcorn Wars. It is Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTVN. Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos, it's Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTVN. Our buddy Ed Francis with us as well tonight. Popcorn Wars here in just a few. Famous birthdays today. You guys know who Rashida Jones is?
Yes.
Yeah, Quincy Jones' daughter.
How old do you think Rashida Jones is?
Ooh, 29.
Oh, older than that. 38.
42. Sean Astin from the Lord of the Rings movies and
Fat Hobbit.
Rudy. Yeah. Samwise. Was he Samwise?
45.
48. 47. Columbus, Ohio native. Former Cincinnati Red, former New York Yankee, Paul O'Neill. Jack?
Oh.
La 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 la. 52.
Ed.
50.
55.
Oh.
Former daytime talk show host Sally Jesse Raphael of the famed Red Glasses.
82.
77.
83.
Oh.
The Nature Boy, Ric Flair, Ed.
Woo!
Woo! 70.
Jack.
Didn't he like actually die and come back to life so it starts over?
I think it starts over.
One.
You were the closest without going over. He's 69.
Ah!
Chelsea Handler.
$1.
Chelsea Handler. Jack.
Wow. 52.
That seems high.
That's not a number. That's air escaping. Are you all right?
I like how Ed not only is going to give a contrary answer to yours, but criticize yours as well.
Yeah, whatever.
It's probably right.
You know what's wrong with yours? It's too high.
47.
43. Yours was too high as well.
Not that high.
And finally, box office poison and star of Madam Secretary, Taya Leone. Jack.
She is total box office poison. She's good on the small screen. Her TV shows do very well. But except for Bad Boys, man, Bad Boys 2, nothing on that. But anyway, I'm going to say 48.
56.
52. Chris Tucker has confirmed that they finally have a script for Rush Hour 4.
Thank God.
Come on, right?
Jeez, been waiting how many years?
I heard it reported the other day that Chris Tucker was coming out of retirement for this film. When you can't get work, that doesn't count as you retired. That is not the same.
I'm a retired former athlete. I never played, but...
Jackie Chan says they've been searching for 7 years for a script worth doing. Yeah, right. Like Chris Tucker's rejecting work. So they are going ahead with Rush Hour 4, the last Rush Hour, Rush Hour 3.
That sounded like a threat. They are going ahead with it.
They're gonna do it whether you want it or not.
Another news out of North Korea today. They're going ahead with Rush Hour 4.
Rush Hour 3 was released in 2007. So hot on the heels of that, 11 years later, here comes. And it's not going to be out this year, of course. But
I didn't even know they had 3.
Yeah, go figure.
2 had its moments.
I think I sat through half of 1. Don't know. Let's play Popcorn Wars. In Popcorn Wars tonight, Ed is going to give it's going to be me versus Jack, and Ed is going to give us the name of a performer. We will trade off back and forth, naming the film credits of that performer until one of us just can't do it no more. The other will be declared the victor. Ed.
Yeah.
You're the host.
Matthew Broderick. Tonight.
Pass.
Pass.
No, pass.
Just kidding. He just said Matthew Broderick.
Well, who goes first? Why do we never figure this out ahead of time? Why do we always wait until we get on
Ed
the air?
Ed can decide who goes first.
Ed, who goes first?
Joe.
Okay. Well, War Games.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. There's one.
Would you like to play a game?
That's my list, by the way.
Is it?
And at some point, we can each have a clue. Just if anybody hasn't heard the game before, don't think we're just making it up as we go along. At some point, we can get a clue.
War Games, the only way to win is not to play.
Stalling.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
I think he had a role in that, yeah.
Jeez. Just think, he was only in 9,000 things in the 1980s.
Project X.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's him and the monkeys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Glory.
Yes.
Ooh, gosh, he didn't have
Glory.
Yes. Very good. The Producers.
He is, yeah. 2005 there.
Biloxi Blues.
I love that movie, and I don't know why, but yes.
Not a bunch of young GIs trying to lose their virginity.
Tower Heist.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't have that on my list.
Fifth highest grossing of his movies.
Awful movie.
That's a great movie.
No,
it is.
$78 million.
It's good. It's a good movie.
Well, it's the cast. It was kind of... Anyway. Cable Guy.
Cable Guy,
oh my gosh.
And for what it's worth, we're still, between all that you guys have thrown out so far, the top three when it comes to gross. Still, none of them.
Really?
Really.
Okay. Was he in...
Oh, be careful. Be careful.
Clue, please. I'll take my hint.
I thought you were saying he was in the movie Clue.
No.
Clue, please. No, he was not in Clue, please.
No, he's not in Clue.
Spoiler alert, this is the beginning of the end. Okay.
Okay.
Awesome, because I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8 still on my
list. Now, this is the year?
You give the year and then the rest of the cast.
Okay. 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole Kidman, Bette Midler, and Christopher Walken, and Glenn Close.
Wow, I have no idea from that clue.
A 2004 Bette Midler movie. Mm-hmm.
It is one of the 10 highest grossing. In fact, it is 8th. $60 million.
Bette Midler, Glenn Close, Nicole Kidman,
Christopher Walken.
Who else?
Well, I mean, that is that not enough?
Maybe not. Do you have more?
Yeah, let me see. Hold, please.
No, that's it. That's the only people in the movie.
John Lovitz.
John Lovitz.
we're kind of...
And this movie made how much?
Faith Hill. I mean...
Faith Hill.
All right, I'm
not I have no idea.
For that. Was he in Labyrinth?
Was he in Labyrinth?
Something like that.
I do not believe
that's
so.
That's David Bowie and Jennifer Connelly and a bunch of Muppets.
Yeah.
He wasn't in that at all?
Yeah.
What's the one I'm thinking of, though, that starts with an L that he was in?
Lady Hawk?
Lady Hawk. I didn't really mean to ask, and I don't think Ed really meant to answer.
And that's on my list. You just took one from me.
You only got to get one more to win.
You're still going
to
win.
Pick one of the other 7, Gene Siskel.
Well, fine. I will go to another one that starts with L. The Lion King.
Yes, number one, by the way.
Now, wait. Before you go through the list
here.
Okay. Wait. Well, let me say which ones I had so it sounds like I'm dumb when I didn't give them.
Okay.
He was in a movie called, and I wasn't sure about the title, Road to Wellness.
Road to Wellville with John Cusack.
Okay.
Yeah. And Dana Carvey.
And I would have got credit for that, right? For being close?
Yes, you would have gotten credit for that one.
Was he in a Prairie Home Companion?
That was on my list.
In what?
Was he in a Prairie Home Companion?
I know.
Okay.
I don't have that on my list.
He was in some Christmas movie a couple years ago.
Deck the Halls. That's on my list.
Oh, well, I would have got that wrong because I wrote Home for the Holidays.
I'm pretty sure it's him and Danny DeVito.
Yeah, I don't know.
Jack, who else did you have? Because there's still a couple of big ones out there.
I had The Freshman, him and Marlon Brando.
Oh, wait. What was the 2004 Bette Midler movie?
The Stepford Wives.
No. That's the one you gave me as a clue. Dramatic end to the music.
They remade that?
Yes, in 2004 with Bette Midler.
And that was one of the top 3 grossing movies he had?
No, I said it was 8.
Oh, you went with one where it made $20 and thought I was going to rattle it off.
Plus $59.4 million.
So still on my list, I had The Freshman. I had a movie called Election, him and Reese Witherspoon.
Oh, yeah.
Lion King 2, he reprises his role. In that, I also had God.
Actually, Lion King 2 is not on here.
He's adult Simba in both of them.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm almost positive.
All right.
Godzilla.
Yep. Oh, yeah. There's number 2, by the way.
Mid-90s remake of Godzilla.
Yeah, 1998. That was number 2. We're still missing the third.
Well, no. And then my other one is, it's in my opinion, one of the 6 worst movies ever made. B-movie. Animated Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, you know what?
Movie.
I was going to say B movie. I didn't write it down, but I was thinking about it.
That movie is. It's bad.
Yeah, but you said that about Tower Heist, and that was a good movie.
Tower Heist is an Academy Award winning epic masterpiece compared to B movie.
All right. What did we miss out of that, Ed?
Inspector Gadget was a big one.
Oh!
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun.
Let's see. Addicted to Love was also up there in terms just from what it made financially.
Yeah.
I don't remember that one.
That's out of the top 15. Those are really the only few.
Yeah.
He had a voice role in Good Boy, which I've never heard of, but it made $37 million.
Yeah. That's about it.
That's pretty much it, yeah. Addicted to Love, 1997 film with him and Meg Ryan.
I still
knew it was an L movie with one word. The only one I had was Labyrinth.
Oh, yeah. No, Lady Hawk's great. That's Rutger Hauer and him. And
well, I'm never going to watch it now out of spite.
Oh, it's a good movie.
I don't think that's how it works.
You're missing out because it's a good movie.
Well, that's their loss that I'll never see it. What?
It's not my fault he gave you the world's worst hint.
I mean, that's kind of an all-star cast.
The hint is supposed to be helpful. Not 14 years ago, Bette Midler was in the movie.
I've got a list of Matthew Broderick's top grossing movies. No one's guessed the top three, so I'm going to give you a hint from number 8.
I was hoping that 1, 2, or 3 would eventually come to mind for him. I'm trying to help him.
You should have given him 1, 2, or 3.
All right, a break here. When we come back, New York City looking for its new nightmare. And, oh, a TV favorite gets rebooted. What, another one? Yeah. When we continue, it's Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTVN. Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos, it's Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTVN. Our buddy Ed Francis with us as well. And, oh, check out this story. Jim Henson's cult classic Labyrinth is heading back to the big screen for 3 days this spring.
Is that why it was on your...
It might have been. I don't know. As part of a nationwide fan celebration of the 1986 film, let's see, this is in association with the Jim Henson Company and Sony. Special screenings will take place April 29th, May 1st, and 2nd, and fans are encouraged to attend in costume.
Oh.
Don't like it when people go to the movies in costume.
No, it's just David Bowie's costume in particular. His codpiece has its own gravitational pull. It's so huge.
Will that catch you a pizza?
It could catch you at least double pepperoni, if you know what I mean.
Labyrinth stars Jennifer Connelly in one of her earliest roles as Sarah, a teenager who must navigate the titular?
I believe either is correct. That's potato, potato.
Maze to rescue her baby brother. Along the way, she encounters David Bowie's Goblin King Jareth, a role that has become a touchstone for fans of the musician and master of reinvention. The film is also known for its lack of performance by Matthew Broderick. also, another one more TV note here, actually, and this is one I'm sure that everyone's going to want to miss. Kim Kardashian and Kanye West are going to go on Celebrity Family Feud. So if anybody cares, no.
That'd be great. Boy, I can't wait to get to watch Kanye not answer or to sit there and sulk.
It will be the Wests versus the Jenners. So it's Kim Kardashian, man. West and Kanye West, and I guess three people they know, taking on Chris.
All their children are too young.
Chris, Chloe, Kendall, and it says MJ. Who's MJ? MJ.
That's Michael Jordan.
MJ Jenner. Who's? I don't even know
MJ
who that is.
MJ Jenner.
Make up the rest of Team Kardashian.
The grandmother.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Oh yeah, Grandma Mary Jo. Oh well, goody goody. That's why people get cable, right? So you can watch Kim Kardashian's grandma play Family Feud.
That episode will burst ratings.
Move over, series finale of MASH.
One of them said something about Snapchat, made a negative comment about Snapchat, and its value dropped $40 billion.
I have shares of Snapchat, and I was not happy about her little, I'm not using it anymore.
I've never used Snapchat. I can put like a dog face over somebody?
You own shares.
Isn't
Snapchat?
That's Snapchat, right?
No, I mean it has that feature, but it's more than that.
It's all I ever see people do.
No, you're missing the headline. Ed owns shares of Snapchat?
Snapchat, Facebook, and Twitter.
Wow.
And I'm up in all three.
Did you get in early? No.
Not early enough, but early.
I got some Bitcoin to sell you later if you want it.
What do you have, Jack?
Well, I've got a new job in New York City that is sadly hasn't been filled yet.
Okay.
There's still a job opportunity, job creation.
All right.
Mayor Bill de Blasio is waiting to see who will become the first ever nightmare. Not nightmare, but the nightmare.
What is that, like somebody on call so he doesn't have to get out of bed?
M-A-Y-O-R. I thought it was like night court.
Yeah.
I thought they were bringing back Harry Anderson, but no. Right. It's a nightlife ambassador. The position was announced last fall by Mayor Bill de Blasio. He says the position would serve as a point of contact between city agencies and the city nightlife industry.
The New York Post reports a Democratic city councilman, Rafael Espinal, who sponsored legislation creating the position, says he hasn't heard any word about a confirmed appointee. Espinal says the city is vetting a candidate, and the post will be filled in the next few weeks, but the spokeswoman for the mayor's office declined to provide a time frame for the announcement. The Office of Nightlife and a 12-member Nightlife Advisory Board were established last year. However, they are nightmareless. There is no one to run.
The
Office of Nightlife in New York City. Yeah.
What a big waste of money that sounds like.
I know. I'm Captain Nightlife. How's it going?
That's terrible.
It's the dumbest thing ever.
What's the criteria for that? It's just knowing where the clubs are?
It's just more big government, you know?
Okay. What do you have, Ed? Were you going to say something?
It seems like a waste of money.
I know, right? a couple of other notes here for Mark Levin fans. His new show starts on the Fox News Channel tonight. Just kidding. It's on MSNBC. No, just kidding. Fox News Channel. Life, Liberty, and Levin at 10 o'clock. Set your DVRs. Mm. And CBS is rebooting.
Yes.
A show that used to...
The Waltons.
A show that originally starred a guy who currently has a hit show on CBS.
Say that again.
They are rebooting a series that stars a guy who currently has a hit show on CBS. Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck from Blue Bloods.
Yes. They are rebooting Magnum P.I.
Oh.
And this week they have cast the role of Thomas Magnum.
Oh, man.
Will be played by a guy you've never heard of, I'm sure.
Darn.
Named Jay Hernandez. Who most recently was had a recurring role on Scandal.
Okay. Who's going to play TC?
I don't know. You were a Magnum P.I. fan.
I loved that show. That show was awesome.
Yeah. Have you ever seen it, Ed?
No.
It starred Tom Selleck in a car.
You know,
Ferrari. It's a red
I'm
Ferrari.
I'm familiar with it.
It's in Hawaii. It's a spinoff of Hawaii 5-0.
I know.
Sorry.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
You said you never saw it, so
I'm familiar with it.
Know about the spinoff aspect of Hawaii 5-0.
It was who were the other actors? John Hillerman was on
He was Higgins,
and there were two dogs,
Zeus and Apollo.
I don't know the names of the other dogs. Actors.
I don't know. TC was the helicopter pilot, and then Rick, he was the nightmare of Hawaii because he had a nightclub.
Okay.
Yeah, he owned a nightclub, and that's where Thomas got a lot of his information was through Rick and his seedy sources. And Tom and TC and Rick were his old Navy buddies, and they all fought in Vietnam together and had PTSD. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah. And it ran for like 9 or 10 years.
Yeah, well, that's because it was Tom Selleck in a bathing suit surrounded by beautiful women in bathing suits. Yes, but why wouldn't that run for 9 years?
They were all attracted to his mustache.
Yep, pretty much.
All right, that is it for us for this week. Stay tuned. You got top of the hour news coming up. Thanks to Ed for stopping in. Thank you, Ed.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
My thanks to Matthew Broderick and David Bowie. For Jack DeVos, Joe Jewett. We'll see you next time.